I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul School. This is Lesson 63. This is the last Soul School before Christmas, and so far I've done all the Advent themes. Hope, peace, joy, and the last one is love. And then we have Christmas. I wanted to talk about love in a little bit of a different way than you may have heard it before. If you're familiar with C.S. Lewis, you may have heard this before, but C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors. He's very imaginative, writes in a lot of different genres, and he talks about love in his book, The Four Loves. And he talks about the nature of love, and he breaks it down into four different categories. And of course, love is one of these huge terms we use for anything from I love chocolate to I've met the love of my life to I love my kids so much I would die for them to God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as we know, those are all so diverse, those meanings and those uses of love. It's almost the word that doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's hard to pull it down into something that isn't trite and something that could mean something to us in a special new way. I'm not going to pretend that I can do that in one little Soul School episode, but I thought what I would do is just read to you a little bit from C.S. Lewis and hopefully enlighten you a little bit about some of the things that C.S. Lewis writes about love. I gained a lot from, and I will leave the link to this book in the show notes. If you go to sparkmymuse.com for this episode, it will link to the show notes, which are on a Patreon support page. To get show notes now, it costs $1, not $1 per episode, but $1 per month to get all the show notes for an entire month for each episode. And that helps to support the show, of course. Within the show notes, there are links to all of the books and the people I mention, and sometimes there's other goodies and photos and things in there, too. But C.S. Lewis breaks down love into four primary categories. Storge is a Greek word for love, which he closely associates with affection. Affection, you could say you have affection with a parent toward a child, or a child for a parent, or even a person for their animal. It's a kind of need love. So that dog is dependent on the owner or the doggy parent, and the child is dependent on the mother or the father. But in a way, the parent is sort of dependent on the child too, in the sense that if that parent doesn't love that child, there's a loss there. There's a problem there, and it will affect the parent as well. But affection is a modest kind of love, but it's also a deep and powerful love. It can't be so easily dismissed, but it is so different than the other types of love. And what we would say something like, I love chocolate, or I love pizza, or I love going to the park, those are things that we deeply, deeply enjoy. And here, when we talk about love, we're not going to be talking about things we really love and enjoy in the same sorts of ways. We're going to be talking more about love in a more powerful way. If I were to spend as much time as these portions merit, this would be a really, really long Soul School. And I might dig into each one of them at a later date. I will be happy to take your request to do such a thing. But for now, I'm going to do a very brief overview of them. Maybe too brief, but I want to just do a really quick summary so we don't take too long on this. This is a really worthwhile book to read. The next kind of love is friendship. Now, friendship, C.S. Lewis says, is a very undervalued love. And in fact, he says, in a sense, there is no need for friendship. There is need for cooperation, but deep, powerful friendship, in a sense, is just one of those beautiful joys in life that we can grab a hold of. It's such a powerful thing. In Eros, another kind of love that we'll get into, which of course is the desirous, romantic, biological love that involves all those great chemicals in your brain that make you feel romantically in love. But friendship is not that kind. Lewis says, if eros is naked bodies, friendship is naked personalities. And in a sense, without the distraction of erotic love, when you just have friendship, you can actually get to know a person's mind and true feelings in a way that you aren't distracted with the romance part that can actually sort of hijack the whole thing in a way and get you distracted on the biological parts of love that involve other things and can get you really carried away. But friendship can be, in a sense, a much more stabilizing, powerful love that is very grounding in your life, that can provide you with belonging, where you say in the world, oh, you too? I thought I was the only one. And C.S. Lewis says that friendship is a very undervalued love. We often mistake friendship for companionship, and companionship is acquaintanceship. We're having things in common with other people you like being around. But a real true friendship is really something that survives through thick and thin, where you see the person warts and all, and you stick with them, and you stick by them, and they can count on you, and you can count on them. It's very powerful, powerful love. And it is not romantic, and it isn't based on procreation or anything like that. But C.S. Lewis had many very, very dear friends that start off as companions and then deepen into friendship, where you realize you have a real connection that creates a deeper bond. This book, The Four Loves, delves into friendship in such a beautiful way that if you have had some really good friends in your life, as I have been very privileged to have, or if you want some deep friendships in your life and you don't know what people are talking about when they talk about powerful friendships, this is a wonderful book to get a primer on what Lewis means by friendship and developing friendship. Now, eros is usually the love we hear about on all of the romantic songs we hear on the radio. And it's the kind of love that stirs our hearts and gets us excited and gets us into trouble or gets us into romance and gets us married or gets us to run away from the person we are married to. It gets us into trouble sometimes. You can hear all those songs of heartbreak and all those songs of romance and all those songs of you're my true love come from eros. And eros gets this big, big podium. And of course, it's a necessary and wonderful part of one of these four loves that has to do with sexuality. And it's a fantastic one of the loves. But it's also one of the ones in our culture that is made to seem like the end-all be-all of love. It's assumed that eros is really where it's all at. Eros, by his nature, invites is a kind of religion of love. Most of all loves, he is at its height most godlike, therefore most prone to demand our worship. Of himself, he always tends to turn being in love into a sort of religion. And that's why theologians will often fear eros, because there's this danger in eros to turn it into so quickly into idolatry and into sin. And that's why I think that Christians can be scared of eros, because it's like fire. Of course, eros is to be embraced and appreciated just like all the other loves. It is a dangerous form of it, of course, it can be. But it's just part of one of the loves that we get to enjoy as humans. We just have to be wise about this category of love. The last love that C.S. Lewis talks about is charity. Breaks it down into charity. And charity is the kind of love, I love how he describes this, I appreciate how he describes this, as a love that is a divine love that takes up into itself human love. This is from page 133. In such a case, the divine love does not substitute itself for the natural, as if we had to throw away our silver to make room for the gold. The natural loves are summoned to become the modes of charity, while also remaining the natural loves they were. One sees here at once a sort of echo or rhyme or corollary of the incarnation itself, or the divine coming into human form. And this need not surprise us, for the author of both is the same. As Christ is perfect God and perfect man, the natural loves are called to become perfect charity, and also perfect natural loves. As God becomes man, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. So here charity does not dwindle into merely natural love, but natural love is taken up into and made tuned and obedient instrument of love himself, or God himself, or love, because we know that God is love. And this is an interesting thing to think about. God is love. This word, God is love, and love makes the world go round. You hear these kind of terms, and sometimes we don't wrap our brains around them because it's basically impossible. We think of God oftentimes as a big human, or something sort of like Santa, or some kind of mean version of Santa, but you know, he knows when you've been sleeping, and he knows when you're awake, and you better be good, for goodness sake. And God is best described as love. And the incarnation, we talk about Jesus coming as God in human form, that is love coming into human form. And so the incarnation is a perfect picture of our hope in humanity, our hope that within us we can have all of the four loves, but especially charity, which is a cooperative effort, which is a divine love and a human love, a natural human love. And from there, we can live out a love that doesn't begin and end with ourselves, but is bigger and broader and richer and goes beyond our own ambitions and our own selfishness. And I love the Christmas story because it emphasizes love. It emphasizes that love comes down and becomes flesh. Love becomes enfleshed and gets lived out, and we get to take a piece of that story, and we get to be light in the world, and that becomes our story. And the final thing I'll leave you with today is one of the best poems within a letter on love that I've ever read. It's a common poem. It's a commonly read bunch of verses. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, often called the love chapter. I'm going to read it slowly, and I hope that you can savor this. It's a kind of homage to love, and hopefully a love that becomes incarnated in each one of us. The last Sunday of Advent, or the last week of Advent before Christmas, is a theme and a focus on love. And love isn't a Christmas idea, of course. A lot of people believe in love, and not just erotic sexual love, but love for each other and a love for mankind. And knowing that we can't get by on hatred and discord and problems, but that the love we have for each other and the compassion and the goodwill we have for each other is what makes us be able to have hope in our future, in our common future together. So I'm going to read this thing about love, and I hope that you can savor it. Maybe listen to it again. And if you're ever wondering what you need to do in the world, come back to this portion on love. And this is our charge. This should be the mission of our hearts. And the mission of our life is to love. And I hope that it will bless you, and it will take you through Christmas and hopefully into the new year. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the language of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are languages, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Thank you so much for listening today. If you've listened to the show, but you'd like more information about someone mentioned or a book or a website, all that can be found in the detailed show notes I create for every show. A link to those show notes can be found at sparkmymuse.com for this episode, or you can find them directly at the support page at patreon.com/sparkmymuse. Patreon is like patron with an E, patreon.com/sparkmymuse.